We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It is time for our weekly chat with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider. And Therese, I want to start first. We all had a good chuckle with your appearance earlier this week on the Drive when they asked you about the Jets. And I think your answer was they have a chance to be a little bit compelling maybe next season. And then it seemed like the crux of it was, you know, they might be good in 3 years. Just wasn't a lot of glowing reviews for the Jets.
I mean, because they stink. So
wow,
I mean, this is one of the worst football teams I've seen in a while, and I don't know where the wind's coming from. You know, defensively they're slow, and offensively they don't have a whole lot going for them at all. You know, nobody you really need to worry about at receiver. Their best running back's a rookie, who's okay, but doesn't have a ton of juice. Darnold's okay. I actually do like Darnold. I just think there's nothing around him. And Becton's okay. Left tackle. I like Becton, but, you know, they got a long, long way to go.
Anybody else you can name?
I kind of like the, corner, Bless Austin, but, outside of that, you know what? Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to go get that guy. If they really want to trade him, someone should go get that dude, because I think he can play.
Let's look at the trade market for a second, though. You mentioned him. I mean, don't you have to be traded by today in order to even play next week? And if you're even traded by the trade deadline, you still have to sit out with the crow. How is that affecting the way teams are approaching the trade deadline?
Yeah, I think most teams are looking to offload contracts, you know, based on my conversations throughout the league. Like, you can get some guys this year, because the salary cap went down by like $20 million next year. And teams are already looking to get rid of guys that they know they don't want to bring back, because you can roll some of that money over to next year's cap. And teams do feel like look, it's going to be a buyer's market next year, right? Because with the cap going down, there are going to be some good free agents that can be really had on one-year deals. You know, I just don't think there's going to be a ton of money spent. So, like, the teams with a lot of cap space, like New England, for instance, are really going to be able to eat on, like, mid-level free agents on short one-term deals for a little amount of money, you know? So teams are trying to set themselves up to be okay in free agency next year when they can kind of do a little damage in March. But I also think some teams just realize they stink, you know, and mm-hmm. they're looking to appropriately off put some contracts. Like, one guy here is available is Kyle Rudolph, right? Who's still a good player, you know. It's just their record's bad in Minnesota. And, you know, if you got cap space and you're trying to make a run, like, this is a good time to get some guys. You know, you can find guys, because teams are willing. Everyone who's not a real contender is looking to save a little money here. So, you know, I don't even think you got to give up a whole lot in some instances, you know. Like, Ravens went bargain shopping in a way, getting Ngakoue for a third and fifth after the Vikings gave up a second and a fifth for the guy.
Yeah.
Ngakoue's a good player. He'll be good for them.
What about the Chiefs, though? What are you hearing from a trade standpoint on them? Where are they with that?
Well, I mean, we'll have to see. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, they're kind of okay. Like, they brought back most of the same team. You know, and I actually think signing Le'Veon Bell is like a nice little midseason addition. Now, there's some ways they can be helped for sure. Like, offensive line, you know, they could use some help there. But I personally have enjoyed watching Nick Allegretti play. You know, I've enjoyed watching that kid play. And the problem is, too, man, like, yeah, I think we talked about this last week, guys. Like, you know, everyone needs linemen. You know, those guys aren't just available like that, you know, because anyone who's good, like, you generally want to keep them, because there's not enough good ones at all anyway. So, but no, like, places that they could use help, obviously, offensive line, you know, beyond that. you know, I think they're okay. Like, they're running it back. They brought literally everybody back. And I, like, whatever happened to them against the Raiders does not affect my long-term prognosis of this team for this season. I think they're the team to beat in the AFC. And, you know, I haven't seen one thing this year that's made me concerned about that.
Terrez Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider. Back to Darnold for a moment. You said, you know, you kind of like him. He's okay. I've always wondered this, like, how many quarterbacks are ruined before we ever, like, get a chance to know if they're any good? Changing offensive coordinators, changing out head coaches. If the Jets are to stick with Darnold, he might have a new head coach and an entire new staff again next year. How detrimental, I guess, are we at times to quarterbacks?
Oh, it's a nightmare. I mean, it happens all the time. Most of the time when quarterbacks fail is because they don't have the infrastructure around them. Like, most quarterbacks, they get drafted that high for a reason. So they can make it if they go to the right place. But, you know, a big part of quarterback development is putting the right things around them. And the Jets have completely failed to give him the infrastructure that, say, Josh Allen has in Buffalo, you know, where he's got a solid offensive line around him. He's got weapons now. They can run the football. He's got tight end. Like, he's got everything he needs. What does Sam Darnold have? Jamison Crowder. You know, and then you have Le'Veon Bell, who's a good running back, but the head coach didn't want him and didn't design the offense around him. You know, like, I mean, talk about just giving a guy no chance.
Yeah.
You know, giving a guy no chance. So when they take Trevor Lawrence, because they'll probably get the number one pick, and, you know, they better hope he comes out, even though I like Fields anyway. When they take the next quarterback, the emphasis has to be signing some solid free agent offensive linemen and getting him a number one receiver through free agency, not even through the draft, because you don't have time for that. Like, you need a legit number one receiver, two or three linemen, a tight end that's steady, mm-hmm. and a running back that's got some big play potential. That's what you need, and that's a lot, but that needs to be the priority to even give that quarterback the next one they take a chance.
Well, and I think the other thing that you didn't mention, Terrez, that I think is so important is to have the right head coach and then have that stability as your offensive coordinator. How a guy can be expected to have success in the NFL, and we'll use Daniel Jones as the example right now, his second head coach, his second offensive coordinator in 2 years. I mean, I think it's very difficult to ask a young player, or any player for that matter, to come in and have multiple head coaches right off the bat and multiple offensive coordinators with multiple systems off the bat, because it's so complex to learn one and then forget everything you learn and then learn something new. And I think a lot of times players at that position fail in the NFL because they have failed head coaches and bad offensive coordinators too.
Yeah, but players make, you know, this is about, you know, this is about Jimmys and Joes, not about X's and O's. Like, mm-hmm. Adam Gase looked good when he had talent too. And sure. I'm not defending him because I think he stinks, right? But
right.
It's mainly about players in this league. This is a players league. Now, because here's the thing, you could put the best head coach with the Jets, they probably win. They'd probably be 1-5 or something, 1-2, you know, 1-6, maybe 2-5. But like it's offensive to me to watch them play. Because they don't have talent,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's that bad, you know. So I didn't really reference the coaching. I mean, we all know he's not good, but
right.
you know, they just don't have talent, and that's something they have to get rectified. Because you know, and they really haven't had it since he's been there.
Right.
That's the problem. Like it's frustrating to watch as somebody who actually likes Darnold and thinks he can make plays, because it's just him out there alone and he's getting rushed all the time and he's got no one to throw to that's decent aside from Crowder, you know? And that's why I'm focusing on it, because I got to watch it every week. Mm-hmm. And just every time the Jets offense comes on, there's just nobody with any juice outside Darnold. And it's annoying, quite frankly.
So if they end up, you know, going 0-16, they end up taking Trevor Lawrence, where's the future for Sam Darnold?
What happens to him?
Because you're not the only guy who says, I like Sam Darnold. So what happens?
I think if you're a team like Pittsburgh, I think you got to take a swing at this guy. Hey, here's the second round pick. We can develop him behind Ben. He fits the offense. He's played before. He's a ready-made number two quarterback for you, who can step in and play and probably play well in that offense. I've talked to Sam Darnold before. I think he loves football. You know, I think this guy's got the right mentality to be a winner at the position. He just entered the league, honestly, under one of the worst circumstances we've seen here recently, right? So I think if you're like a good team with an old quarterback like the Steelers, I think you're taking a swing at this guy. I think you have to, because you can get your future quarterback at a potential bargain or potential value here. And I know some people think Darnold will go for a first round pick. You know, I'm not so sure, man. I think he's good, and people certainly regard him higher than Josh Rosen, but I don't know if you know, but there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league now. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks, and they're not all good, but like there's enough promising ones that teams think they might be good, and they're going to have to see what they have. So I definitely think that, you know, there might be a chance for a team to get that guy for like a second and make a fourth or something like that. And if that's the case and your team with an established quarterback, you know, I think you got to take a swing on this guy.
Steelers Ravens looks to be the game of the weekend, obviously, and a top for the kind of the top of the AFC. How do you feel that one matches up?
Yeah, I mean, you guys know me, so I'm ready for this game. I think it's going to be the most physical game of the season. I think this is going to be a flat out war. This is going to be like, you know, 2008 Steelers Ravens. You know, I think it's going to be like that. You know, where both these teams put their absolute best into it, and they're feeling the physical effects of the game in like the next week. You know, Cause Baltimore needs to win this game to stay in the divisional race, and they're at home. So like, this is a pride game for them, and it's a practicality game for them. But they still might not win, because Pittsburgh's really good defensively and really good offensively. And I'll tell you this, if the Steelers win this game, despite how badly the Ravens need to, I do think that, you know, that's going to open the eyes of the other AFC contenders. Like, hey, this is a team that we're going to have to contend with. You know, this is a team that can beat you if you don't play well in January. So, I mean, we already know the Steelers are good, but if they beat the Ravens when the Ravens need to win this game to stay, in that race in the AFC North, and they're at home, that's going to tell me a lot about this team's ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, it could do a lot of damage for the Baltimore Ravens, too, losing this game. You already have that loss to the Chiefs on the ledger. Now you lose a divisional game to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And from, you know, the start of the season where you're talking about battling the Chiefs for that only bye, now you're talking about a middle-of-the-road playoff game and maybe not even having a home playoff game, you know?
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's a long way down from last year, right?
Yeah.
You know, they were supposed to have home field advantage the whole way. So, no, trust me, we're going to get the best of what the Ravens have, right? So, you know how Andy Reid brings out his best stuff, you know, against certain teams when he needs to make a statement?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would expect the Ravens to do that both offensively and defensively, right? But you know, again, there's still no guarantee, because the Steelers are really, really good but on both sides of the football. And, you know, I'm also going to be watching Lamar Jackson in this game. Like, you guys know I love Lamar. But you know, the Steelers defense is good. It's really good. And he's going to have to win this game with his arm, too. And it's important for him to show, hey, you know, against a good defense and against a good team, you know, I can throw like I do against teams that aren't great or just average. So, you know, I'll be watching Lamar. You know, it's a statement game for Ben, too.
Sure.
Like, Ben wasn't good last week.
Right.
Three interceptions, and they still won.
It was good for a half. I mean, they blow the doors off the Titans in the first half of that game. And then I don't know if they got bored or whatever it was, but Tennessee got right back into that thing. And all of a sudden we had a football game, you know?
Well, listen, anytime you throw three interceptions, I'm not going to say you were good for any point of the game. Like, that's completely unacceptable. And they lost the turnover battle 3-0, and they still won the game. So, I mean, I thought that was a pretty instructional part for Pittsburgh, but, you know, in a way, because they still won, maybe it can help them refocus, because the way that they kind of took their foot off the gas pedal seemed pretty un-Steelers-like, like you said. So, you know, we'll see. Just a very instructional game coming up, and I'm really looking forward to it.
What are your expectations for Tua?
I'll be looking to see how quickly he gets the football out, because, you know, I don't think the Dolphins pass protection is that great, but it has looked good because Fitz gets the ball out quickly. So, he's facing Aaron Donald, and, he's going to have to get the ball out quickly, you know, and Brian Flores deserves the benefit of the doubt. You know, he's proven to be pretty competent, but, they were 3-3, and they were kind of rolling under Fitz. And I know those guys really played. It stood out to me how hard those guys played for him every single week. I'll be looking for the energy of the offense, and I'll be looking to see how quickly he gets the football out, because those would be indications about whether or not they made the right move. But I do love the talent. I love the player.
And Monday night we have the Bucs taking on the Giants. Are the Bucs legit good now? Are they the team to beat in the NFC?
They are. They are. The Bucs are the best football team in the NFC. It's because they're the most balanced team in the NFC. Their defense is outstanding. They stop the run. They rush the passer. They'll give anybody problems. And then offensively, they're better than people think. People are ready to say Tom Brady's washed. He's not washed. I've watched him a lot. He actually moves throughout the pocket. He escapes trouble a little bit, and then he throws on the move. Like, you need to be able to do that to win in this league, and he's doing that. Now, you know, no one's confusing him with some of the biggest creators in the league, but he does it enough, and he's efficient enough, and he's got more than enough weapons to put up a lot of points, and their running game has come around. Like, Ronald Jones is a good football player. So, yeah, the Bucs are the best team in the NFC. They're the most complete team in the NFC, and barring some sort of COVID issue or whatever, or outbreak or whatever, they're the favorite to go to the Super Bowl from that conference, in my opinion.
Therese, do your best to avoid the Jets, and we'll talk to you next week.
I mean, I'm not going to be able to help it, guys. I'll be watching this game just like you, so I'll be hate watching the New York Jets.
Yeah,
that's Therese
just Taylor, like all their fans
of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider.
He's right about that. Jet fans hate watch their team. They have for years. I mean, I think that's part of the reason, you know, at times you are a fan. Sometimes you just got to hate watch your team. And that's how Jet fans have been for the better part of 35, 40 years right now.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.